I ask you to turn in your hymnals to number 76. It's not a song, it's actually a prayer. On the bottom of page, on the bottom of number 76. Let us pray together. Holy God, you have given us grace by the confession of the faith of your holy church to acknowledge the mystery of the eternal Trinity and in the power of your divine majesty to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith and worship and bring us at last to see in your eternal glory one God, now and forever. Amen. The first scripture reading comes from the Hebrew Bible, from the book of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. It's on page 597 in the Hebrew Bible if you'd like to follow along. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two wings they flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me! I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, Here I am, Lord. Send me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 147 of the New Testament in the hymnals or in the Bibles in the pews. Hear now the words of the Apostle Paul. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us turn to the gospel lesson, the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. A lectionary reading that comes up throughout the year, including this Sunday. It is in your pew Bible, on page 88 in the New Testament, if you'd like to follow along. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, we talked about it at the beginning, and clearly with all the images around you, you're clear about this. Today is Trinity Sunday. Look at the cross, but it's also Peace with Justice Sunday. The first descriptor of today refers to our theology, and the second descriptor refers more to our mission in the world. And so with your help, I'd like to consider each of those in turn. When you think about the Holy Trinity, you almost wonder, how did they choose these readings in the lectionary today? But clearly, if you look at it a little bit more closely, that first reading from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah himself stood before God Almighty, the Father, if you will. And that's the reading from the Gospel, or excuse me, from the Epistle that Ken read. Paul was clearly talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, in the Gospel lesson from John, Nicodemus came to see the second person, Jesus Christ. How many of you learned about the Holy Trinity when in your formative years, perhaps a few years ago? How many of you ever learned about the Holy Trinity? Okay. Well, if you're like me, it was a long time ago, and I think some of us tend to almost take the Trinity for granted. Yes, the Holy Trinity, but we should not take it for granted, because the Trinity itself is a great mystery. If you want to delve into the mystery sometime, if you have a moment, open up the back of the hymnal and look for the creeds, those statements that tell us what we believe. Start with the Apostles' Creed. And then if you want to be really confused, look at the Nicene Creed and all the words it uses to try to figure out what the Holy Trinity really means. It truly is a mystery. And what we're trying to figure out is the nature of our God. That's the point of the Holy Trinity. You know, sometimes I believe that we take the Trinity simply at face value. We think about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we try to imagine what that means. Now, depending on how you were raised, on your faith tradition of your family, you may have different images in your mind when somebody says Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You may not even use those words. Well, for me, I can remember my upbringing in the Roman Catholic Church. I can still see and hear the nun in the catechism class as she had us repeat after her, "One God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." And that's how we learned it. Holy Ghost, that was the Holy Spirit. And so based on the way I was raised, when I think about God the Father, I see an old white man with a long flowing beard. Remember the Sistine Chapel? That's the classic image that I saw. When I think of Jesus Christ, I again see a white guy with a beard, a long white robe and sandals, with this very placid, peaceful look on his face. This guy who couldn't be flapped for anything. And when I think about the Holy Spirit, I see a snow-white dove that seems to show up at all the right times. But maybe you have different images in your head. I hope you do. For Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Maybe you refer to the Trinity as Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. But likely there is mystery surrounding what that means. You know, maybe that mystery is simply our way of trying to figure out what it is to know God. I've often wondered what would have happened had God chosen the incarnation at a different time, at a different place, in a different society than when Jesus came. What would have happened if God had come to earth in a matrilineal society instead of the patrilineal society of ancient Israel? That means, what if women were in charge instead of men? If that had been the case, would we now be referring to God the Mother? God the Daughter, Mary Christ? And God the Holy Spirit, perhaps a butterfly or a bird? And then if you really want to make yourself confused, what would have happened had God chosen to come to earth in an African culture or a Native American culture at an earlier time as people were developing? Would we now be thinking about God the mountain, God the horse, and God the eagle? Now, I'm not trying to be blasphemous. You know, don't walk out of here and say that your pastor is renaming the Holy Trinity. I'm just supposing. Because certainly God can do what God so chooses. Is there any reason to believe that God could not have decided to make God's self known to different people at a different place in a different time? Isn't it possible? Because honestly, is the Holy Trinity not simply the product of human minds to try to understand something that is an ultimate mystery? If you do the mind games of thinking about the Holy Trinity, I believe you'll come up short. I don't think we can really understand God's nature fully. I don't think we have the capacity in our puny human minds to even understand what God is like. Because I believe that this is a mystery and that God is ultimately unknowable. And yet God desires more than anything else to be in relationship with us. Think about Peace with Justice Sunday. Peace and justice are foundational biblical concepts. If you go back to the Hebrew Bible, almost from page one in creation, you find those mentioned, peace and justice. And yet, how much do we know about those concepts? How many of you know the Hebrew word shalom? Shalom means roughly peace. But it's not our peace, it's God's peace. Shalom refers to peace that likely the human race has never seen in all the history of humankind. Because shalom refers to God's peace that will occur at the end of time when God brings God's kingdom to fruition And it will be the time when all people will have everything they need. It will be the realization of justice. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. described shalom for him and his community as the beloved community. A time of justice realized when there would be true equality. No poverty, no hunger, no pain, no tears, no hatred, no war, no racism. Where all of God's people, all the people of the earth, would have everything they need. And justice will ultimately be served. Bishop N.T. Wright from England wrote a book and took on the concept of justice. His book was simply Christian. Some of us have read it together. And Bishop Wright believes that there is a foundational concept of justice that is so elemental that we don't even have to be taught about what justice is. Wright argues that justice is something that we know inherently. That even little kids can tell you what is wrong and what is right. That if you were to go this afternoon to a playground or go to a basketball court and present to a group of kids a situation in the world today, Darfur or Iran or any of the atrocities in Africa, that any of those kids would know without even thinking that's wrong and that's right. And almost immediately their response would be, we ought to do something to fix that. We know justice and we know peace when we see it. And we clearly know when it's not there. My brothers and sisters, maybe there doesn't need to be a mystery about this at all, after all. Maybe we'll never understand the Holy Trinity, but we do know that God is love. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but rather that the world would be saved through Him. God loves you. Of that there is no doubt. God has sent you out into this world in order to spread the love of Jesus Christ. God has allowed us to recognize and to seek peace and justice wherever we can find the opposites. God has called us to work for peace and justice with Jesus by our side. It truly is that simple. Amen.